Although we go shopping and we go to the mall, we learn to shop at home. When Dr. America asks people how they learned to shop, most of their stories include parental advice and example, and family values and rituals. Home is where the heart is, and it's also the heartbeat of American consumer culture. Shopping begins at home, and it begins early. In America, the way we make a house a home is to fill it up with stuff that's ours. We go to the mall to buy carpets and curtains, furniture and appliances, antiques and accents, shelves and knickknacks to fill the shelves. We need pictures and paintings and posters. We need an entertainment center. We need these things to make ourselves at home, and we need them to express ourselves to others. In India, this relationship between home and possessions is different, according to Marilyn Halter, author of Shopping for Identity. She says, "While an Indian home is considered rich if it is filled with people, an American home is considered rich if it's filled with things, and especially things regarded as expressing individual identity. Thus, the American home depends on virtually every department of the department store." Even before our babies come home from the hospital, we've begun the process of teaching them how to consume. We've prepared a nursery, for example, by decorating a room or a corner with new paint or wallpaper, a crib and changing table, a colorful mobile and assorted plush toys. We don't do these things just for the baby. We use these things to tell our friends and relatives, and even ourselves, how we feel about children and about their relationship to us and to the world of goods. The baby just got home, and already she has a lifestyle. She's too young to appreciate it, but she'll breathe it in like air. The nursery nurses a child's sense of the language of goods. And pretty much from birth, we teach our children how to be consumers. As environmentalist and parent Constantine von Hoffman suggests, an honest look reveals us as happy and willing participants in indoctrinating our children in consumerism. Dr. America agrees. We try to teach our children family values, but we often forget that our families value material goods and that children know it. To an American child, consumption is a family value. Kids inevitably learn the pleasures of consumption before they learn any of its costs. As dependents of adults, they can be independent of the responsibilities of consumption. So, as kids, our first encounters with the culture of consumption give us a taste of gratification without any aftertaste at all. We are oblivious to the consequences of our consumption, and we try to maintain that oblivion for as long as possible. Our fond memories of childhood help to explain our later consumer forgetfulness, the general ignorance of where stuff comes from and what it really costs. As soon as kids are capable, we teach them how to count by teaching them to count money. A nickel is 5 pennies, a dime is 2 nickels, a quarter is 2 dimes and a nickel, etc. We also teach them addition and subtraction by offering retail story problems. If apples are 2 for a quarter and you have $1, how many apples can you buy? Assuming, of course, that there's no sales tax on food. Both at home and at school, we teach our kids how to make change, as if they might someday work in retail. The manifest function of such teaching is a mastery of numbers and mathematical operations. But the latent function is the naturalization of money and market exchange. By teaching kids to make change, therefore, we teach them not to make any important changes in the market economy. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, shopping, as always, for the complexities of American culture.